topics of kashrus that eventually we will cover over the next few years, I guess. Now we're going to go into more details. The purpose of the shiur here is not to give you smicha. Okay? So if you thought that was the purpose, sorry. The purpose here is not necessarily to give you all the answers to all the different details that could possibly come up, but to give you enough information to know how to ask a shaila. What are the pertinent conditions and circumstances that make a difference in what could have happened in your kitchen, where things get mixed up, milchiks, fleishiks, things that are prohibited and things that are mutter, or whatever. That's what we're going to be learning now. Things to do with basar b'chalav and taruvos. Mostly taruvos is not the question, because we don't have things in our kitchen that are usually prohibited unless you bought something by mistake or whatever. And even then, the worst is that you bought something with a mahadran hechsher that wasn't one of the ones that we accept. So to say it's treif and it treifs up other things is very remote. It could come, questions of isra v'heter, taruvos could come up, but they're not the usual. The usual is milchiks and fleishiks, where things, fleishika things you use milchiks by mistake or whatever. Those are the probable, most of the shailas that that I get. So I want to explain how things can mess up other things, milchik fleishik wise, and it also applies to isser v'heter. If something that's usser, right, you have pig fat in your house and by accident, you know, it fell into your chicken soup or whatever.
There's pigs around here.
What?
There are pigs around here.
Right. There are fat pigs, but there's no pig fat.
People do have their kitchens challah or tevel.
Yeah, okay, but usually they burn it or whatever. It's not usually something that gets mixed up in, with other things. I rarely have shailas of isser v'heter, mostly basar b'chol. Okay. So how do things transmit taste that one thing could ask the other? That something milchik could have fleishik mixed into it and then it becomes basar b'cholov and it's asr, either rabbinically from the Torah, and what kind of things don't make a difference? Where can two things touch, right, or come in contact, and in the end all you have to do is wash them off and they're okay. And the same thing goes not only for foods that come in contact with each other, but foods that come in contact with kalim. Right? You cook milchiks by mistake in a fleishika pot, or vice versa. When will the milchiks make the pot osir and have to be kashered, and when not? Okay. The first thing is that under most circumstances, in order for there to be a transfer of taste between one thing and another, you need heat. We'll see that it's not the only way, but that is one of the major ways. The two things, one of them at least has to be hot. Cold things, usually, okay, cold, dry things that touch each other usually don't cause any problem. So one of them at least has to be hot, and the heat that normally transmits things is Yad Sol Edisbo. There are exceptions to that too. There are cases where even if it's not Yad Sol Edisbo, it may also transfer heat. We'll speak about those exceptions in a little while. But normally, in order for something to transmit flavor, taste, from one thing to another, and therefore to make it osir, from milchiks to fleishiks, or from fleishiks to parev, or parev to milchiks, or whatever, and may not make it osir, but make it osir to eat with the opposite thing, you need heat that is Yad Sol Edisbo. Different opinions what Yad Sol Edisbo is. Some say that Yad Sol Edisbo is a heat that you can't keep your finger in that heat for an extended amount of time. Burning hot. Others say that it doesn't have to be that hot. But anything that would burn the stomach of a one-day-old child, very sensitive skin, that's called Yad Sol Edisbo. Lahalacha, something that is less than 110 degrees Fahrenheit. It's not very hot. It's probably 110 degrees Fahrenheit which is 43 degrees centigrade. Something that hot, I mean, a person has, can have a fever close to that, right? He's not burning up. It's probably very lukewarm. That is the minimum that could be Yatzel Edispo. Some holds, Shlomo Zalman holds, that's where Moshe holds, 110 degrees. Shlomo Zalman holds 113 degrees is the minimum. Less than 113 degrees is not Yatzel Edispo.
How do they get to those exact...
What? They tested to see where that... what?
Rabbi Moshe says 105 degrees Fahrenheit.
No, 110 degrees. 110 degrees, 43 degrees centigrade, and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman holds 113 degrees. The nobody holds less than 110 degrees. 110 degrees is mamish the biggest chumrah to be considered Yatzel Edispo, or the biggest kula, depends what you're talking about. But the Gabi Kashrus, it's the biggest chumrah. Less than 110 degrees is definitely not Yatzel Edispo. And even in order to transfer taste, there's a difference on Shabbos or Basar B'Cholov cooking. Cooking sometimes can only be affected with certain conditions. And therefore, it's not considered cooking on Shabbos, for instance, if you cook something in solar heat, directly from the sun. Not solar heat the way we have solar heat, which is the sun heats up things and that heats up the water. That's not really called solar heat, at least the way we hold. Solar heat means you put an egg out in the desert on what's it called, on a handkerchief, and it gets cooked in sunlight. The sun is so hot, it cooks the egg directly. Okay, not that it heats up metal and the metal heat cooks the egg. The sun rays, right, can cook an egg. You wouldn't be over on Bishul on Shabbos because cooking in the sun is not considered cooking, normal cooking. So Shabbos, it wouldn't be Bishul. Same thing. If you cooked basar b'chalav, milk and meat together, you wouldn't be over the isser of cooking milk and meat. On the other hand, if you had milchiks and fleishiks, they got mixed together and cooked together in the sun, even though you wouldn't transgress the prohibition of cooking milk and meat, but lemaisa, the taste of the milk and the taste of the meat combined, you're not allowed to eat that. It may not be prohibited from the Torah, but it rabbinically is prohibited. The taste can go from one to the other because there's heat. It doesn't make a difference what the source of the heat is. The source of the heat is only a difference insofar as being called bishul, cooking. May not be cooked, but it's still a transfer of taste, and therefore, even in things that on Shabbos wouldn't be considered cooking, and would be even mutter. But when it comes to basar v'chalav, or when it comes to isser v'heter, if something had that heat, yatzel ledesbo, even if the heat source was the sun, it still can cause a transfer of taste. Okay, now, in addition to the heat, yatzel ledesbo, there's another factor that comes into play, and that is which kli that liquid, we're talking now about liquids, liquids that reached yatzel ledesbo. Were they the liquids that were on the fire, in a pot that was on the fire? That's a kli rishon. Kli rishon on the fire. A kli rishon on the fire, if it is yatzel ledesbo, most certainly has the ability to transfer taste. So if you have a pot of chicken soup, okay, on the fire, and it's hot, more than 110 degrees, and something, what's it called, milchik, falls into it, it definitely becomes prohibited. I mean, there's other conditions, but barring any other reasons not, right, the heat of the fleishiks mixes the milchiks together with it, and you can't eat it. That is definite. A kli rishon on the fire that's not yatzel ledesbo yet, according to some opinions, can still make things prohibited. So if you're talking about things that gets mixed into a kli rishon on the fire, even if it's not yatzel ledesbo, you should ask a shayla. Sometimes we're machmir that even where it's not yatzel ledesbo, as long as it's on the fire, right, it may still be osur. Not only that, even a kli rishon off the fire, still in the original pot that you cooked it. It was originally Yatzo Ledesbo, and then it cooled off. Okay, and it's not Yatzo Ledesbo, but it's still warm. It still also may be able to prohibit things. So when you're dealing with a Kli Rishon on the fire, or one that's off the fire that had been Yatzo Ledesbo, and now is not, right? Or it's not Yatzo Ledesbo, it never was Yatzo Ledesbo, but it was getting hot on the fire, you should still ask a Shaila. You shouldn't assume that it's okay. There are cases where it will be okay and cases where it won't be okay. Now, if you take that pot, you pour it into a bowl. So the bowl is now a Kli Sheni. A Kli Sheni, according to many poskim, just like by Shabbos, a Kli Sheni can't be Mavashel, right? There's no Bishel except for certain rare things, or not rare things, certain things, right? That there's Bishel even in a Kli Sheni. Kali HaBishel, things that are easily cooked. But on Shabbos, normally, you're allowed to put things into a Kli Sheni, min Ikar HaDin, right? Because Kli Sheni can't cook. And on Shabbos, the main idea is not transfer of taste. The main idea of Shabbos is you're not cooking. That's the malacha, cooking. So a Kli Sheni can't cook. Many poskim hold, just like a Kli Sheni can't cook, it can't transfer taste either. And therefore, if something falls in to hot liquid, even Yatzo Ledesbo, in a Kli Sheni, since the thing was already poured into another Kli, the svara is that the walls of the Kli cool down the thing and take away, even if it's the same heat, it doesn't have the power to cook. It's hot, but it loses its power to impart that heat to something else. So therefore, on Shabbos, it may be that you'd be allowed to put something into a Kli Sheni that's Yatzo Ledesbo. But when it comes to transferring taste, there's a difference of opinion. Some hold that whatever can't cook can transfer taste. And some hold that, no, some poskim hold that even though it's not called cooking, but a transfer of taste there is, as long as it's Yatzo Ledesbo, even in a Kli Sheni. And therefore, if something falls into a Kli Sheni, usher, the opposite of what you're cooking, and it is Yatzo Ledesbo, there you should ask a Shaila. In a Kli Sheni, if it's not Yatzo Ledesbo, nobody holds it can cook. Well, there's another exception, we'll see in a second. Right? Something in a Kli Sheni that is not Yatzo Ledesbo, what's it called? There's really, most of the time, no Shaila. So if it's in the original pot, even if it's not Yatzo Ledesbo, you should ask a Shaila. If it's in a Kli Sheni already, if it's not Yatzo Ledesbo, there's really no reason to ask a Shaila. If the Kli Sheni is Yatzo Ledesbo, there's a reason to ask a Shaila. Anything after a Kli Sheni, usually we say that there's no problem, unless, and here are the exceptions, Yad Nichvesbo. It's not just 110 degrees, but it's really boiling hot. Okay, boiling hot means that it's, if you put your finger in, it'll be scalded. You get a serious burn. That's around 160, 170 degrees. That's really hot water. Not boiling, but really hot.
How do we know what's the temperature?
You can pretty much see if there's steam coming out or whatever, you know that it's pretty hot water.
Well, the difference between 160 and 159.
Yeah, you know, that's... We're not going to put a thermometer in and know what it was like then. There's no way to know. But you can be mishayer from the way the water looked or the way it felt when you right away put your finger in, it mamish is burning hot. So that's Yad Nechvesbo. It wasn't burning hot. It was hot. You know, somewhere less than that, it's probably in the other category. It's not Yad Nechvesbo, but it could be Yad Soledesbo. If it just feels warm and you could leave your finger in there indefinitely, then it's not even Yatzo Ledesbo. So usually we're not looking with the thermometers, we're looking at how it makes an impression on you. Now the Yad Nichvesbo could be that it imparts taste even past a Kli Sheni, surely in a Kli Sheni. So if it's really, really hot, even if it's more than a Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi, should ask a Shaila. Next thing that could be a difference is a ladle. What din does a ladle have? Right? On the one hand, you would think the ladle should be a Kli Sheni, because it's in a different kli than the original thing that was cooking. On the other hand, the ladle was put into this kli, so it was part of the kli rishon, at least temporarily. Usually what we say is like this: if you put the ladle in and left it there for a little while and then took it out, the ladle has a din of a kli rishon. If you just scooped it up and didn't leave it in there for a little while, right, just scooped things out of the, then the ladle has a din of a kli sheni. Another thing is, what about the tap? Turn on the hot water tap. Okay, so it's coming from a boiler, right? Is that directly kli rishon, or is that also maybe not kli rishon because it goes through all these pipes or whatever? The pipes may be considered already like a kli sheni. So there, it really depends on how the plumbing works and how the dude works or whatever, where your source is of hot water. It may be considered a kli rishon on the fire, something that is coming from the tap. Right? Not even eerie. That's the next thing. Let me mention that first, and then we'll... So you pour something, you pour hot fleishiks over something milchik. Okay? That's called eerie kli rishon. Eerie kli rishon is worse than a kli sheni, because it didn't have a chance for the heat to be dissipated into the walls of another kli, but it's not as bad as being in the kli rishon, still out of the kli rishon. So eerie kli sheni usually can't cook the thing entirely, but it can cook a layer on the outside. So it could be, in that kind of case, you'd be able to just cut off a layer on the outside and the thing would still be okay. Right? Wouldn't be, what's it called, wouldn't be fleishig. It would just be, you'd have to cut off the outside layer. Sometimes that's not the case. And therefore, on something under hot water, under the spigot, may have a din of eerie kli rishon. It may have a din of eerie kli sheni. It depends how the plumbing is. And it may be worse than eerie kli rishon. It may be mamish as if it's in a kli rishon. So that if it's very boiling hot water coming out of the tap, surely you have to ask a shayla. And therefore, the ladle also can't be worse than eerie kli rishon. You pour the ladle over something, so it's pouring from a kli rishon. It's not in the kli rishon anymore. It's pouring from a kli rishon. That's the worst it could be. And therefore, sometimes it won't prohibit the whole thing, just a thin layer on the outside of the thing. Yeah.
But look, what kind of a shower would you have with water coming out of the tap?
You have water coming on the tap to something milchik and fleishik together.
Okay.
Next thing. A davar charif, onions. What's it called? Horseradish.
Garlic.
Right? Garlic. Something that's not cooked, raw, and pungent. Right? There, even in a kli sheni, it could be that, even according to those opinions, that say a kli sheni can't impart taste, but a kli sheni and something that's a davar charif, there more people hold that there's a problem. So if the thing that is in the kli sheni is a davar charif, right, there for sure you should ask a shayla if the water is yatzah ledesbo. Okay. Okay, that's heat with liquids. Okay, next thing is where...
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Do we know the standard dudes here, whether they're considered kli rishon or kli sheni?
Here, the sinks?
You said the dudes and the water coming through. And
no.
There's not a...
No. I tell you the truth, I never had a shayla that I had to be mavarad. I don't know. I don't know how it is over here. I would imagine... I shouldn't say would imagine. I don't know. Okay. There's another exception to this. That's called a dover gush. Till now we're talking about liquids. How about a solid? You have a solid thing. Solid means that it's not pourable. You have to take it out with a spoon, a fork, or something like that. Right, it's a solid thing. You're cooking cholent, okay? Not soupy cholent, but nice hard cholent in a pot, and you take it out with a ladle, or you pour it out of the pot into a bowl. So lechora you would say that now that cholent is a klisheni, but it may not be the case, because since it's a dover goosh, it's something that stand by itself. Cholent's maybe not a good example because all different kinds of cholent. Yeah, a piece of potato or a chicken that was in a what's it called, in a broiling pan, and now you take it out of the broiling pan and you put it onto a plate. So you would say, well, now the chicken's in a klisheni. So even if it's yatsa lettuce bow, it's not, you know, as serious as if it would still be in the broiling pan. But that may not be the case, because there are opinions that hold that since the whole idea of a klisheni is that the walls of the kli dissipate the heat and it absorbs into the wall by a solid thing, that doesn't happen. Right? It's hot all around, and it doesn't conform to the walls of the kli. So therefore, there are poskim who hold that a dover goosh can cook even if it's in a klisheni. The klisheni is irrelevant. As long as it's yatsa lettuce bow, it always has the din as if it's in the kli rishon, because it never dissipates. So therefore, if you have solid things, and you poured milk over a piece of milk spilled over a piece of hot chicken, okay, and it's yatsa lettuce bowl, but it's in a plate, so you would think it's a klisheni. Still a shaila, much more serious of a shaila than if the milk poured over something totally liquid in a bowl, that's already a klisheni. That's another exception. Okay, so those are the halachas. I don't think I'm going to go more because it confused you enough. One thing, what we wanted to do tonight is also solid foods touching solid foods, hot, and solid foods touching other solid foods, cold. Sometimes even solid cold foods can cause a problem. But that we'll get to. It's coming in crashing. Okay, any questions on this? How you have a shaila that comes up, and you have something that's hot, milchik or fleishik, and something gets mixed into it, or that is the opposite. These are the possibilities of when it could become osur and when it could become not osur. A very partial case. You have milk soup, right? Corn soup with milk, cooking in a pot, and piece of your Shabbos chicken fell into it, right? Or you have chicken soup, and I'm trying to think of something milchik that can fall into it that doesn't get completely mixed in, and then it's a question of bittle. Something, a piece of cheese falls in, right? A slice of cheese falls into your chicken soup. So that's what we were discussing till now. Okay, if it's in the original pot, how hot it is. It's not in the original pot, how hot it is. Cheese is not a dover charif, but if you had an onion that fell in, right, that had been cut with a fleishik knife and has a din of fleishiks, and it fell into your milchik soup, then it could be in a klisheni, it could be more of a problem. Yeah.
So I have two questions that relate to Shabbos. One is completely on the point, and one is slightly off. So you'll tell me. When you remove the food, like the cholent pot, from the stove, and I've either kept it in the crock pot or put it into another pot, and I brought it to the table, how long does it retain?
It was in the stove or was it in a crock pot?
It was in a crock pot. And I either take it in the crock pot and put it on the table, or I put it in a smaller kli. But sometimes some of that cholent will fall onto something parv. And I wondered, is there a period of time from when the cholent's been removed from the cholent pot that it no longer, because also my husband is very machmir about making sure his plate is dry, like there's nothing damp on it before I've given him the cholent. But if it's been sitting there for 15 minutes waiting to be brought to the table,
depends how hot it is. Less than yatsa lettuce bowl, then there's probably no problem. If it's still yatsa lettuce bowl, it's a dover goosh, and yes, it could present a problem. So the difference would be if it's not 110 degrees,
so
it's just warm.
So I have to put my finger in the cholent pot after I drop.
Don't invite me. Yeah. Truth is, people put their fingers in everything anyway. Women who prepare it, what's the not to mean it? Right? You don't wear surgical gloves to cook in your house, I hope. Yeah. So, what you don't see doesn't bother. If you see the way they prepare things in restaurants, you wouldn't eat either. So it really depends on how hot the thing is. That's all. It doesn't matter on the time. How hot it is. That's it. Okay, any other questions on this? Okay. Okay, let me just ask, is this, do you feel that you're going to gain something from this? I'm not telling you what the psak is in every possible different case, because every case is different, and there's a lot of other circumstances that may not be in these general things that may be taken into consideration that will make a difference in what the psak is. So it's absurd to go through every possible case and tell you what the halacha is, so you don't have to call me anymore. Besides, I need job security. So, but at least giving you enough information as to what's a shaila and what's not a shaila, and what's more of a shaila and what's less of a shaila, if you'll review this and remember it, is that helpful? Or is it just confusing? And better you shouldn't know anything and just call and whatever the answer is, it is. Is it, you feel that there's a toelis in what we're going to do with this? Yes? Okay. I don't want to do this, and there's no purpose to it, and just confusing everybody, and you have to ask a shaila anyway, so what do you have to know all this for? But there is a reason. The reason is that you are intelligent. You have an intelligent understanding of what to mention when you ask a shaila, what things are relevant, so you don't think that they're irrelevant things and forget about them, and you take notice of them. So when you ask a shaila, you ask an intelligent shaila. That's what it means. Shelas chacham chatzi tshuva. Half of the answer is giving the right information. The other half is how you present it. The half is what's it called, giving the right information. Because if you give all the right information, it's easier to come to an answer, right? But people ask me shilas sometimes that they have no idea what the information. How do what's going to answer your shilas? Somebody called me. I'll give an example of where you can't. Somebody said to me, "Can I eat my grandparents' home? Their grandparents aren't that from." And don't know too much about kashrus, and they're not too makbid on hashgachas or whatever. Can I eat my grandparents' house? I said, well, can you tell me a little? I know your grandparents. Sure. Right? Can you tell me a little bit about what they're makbid on? Does that mean they're not makbid on kashrus? Means that they have roast pig every other day, or it means that they buy things only with hashgachas, but not necessarily mahadran hashgachas? Do they know about basar b'cholov? Do they have two sets of dishes? I don't know. I said, very nice. Well, how do you expect me to know? How in the world can I answer such a question? Right? It's absurd. So, but I get questions like that. Right? And when it comes in the kitchen, the same thing. People don't know all the details. Right? I just had a problem. What's it called? This? Do you know how hot the thing was? No. Do you know how much there was? No. Right? So how do you expect me to answer the question? I don't have enough information to know what the question is. So at least my thought was that if I give you all this information, you'll know what to consider. So if you have a shaila, you'll know what to ask, right? What information you need to know to ask the question, not what information you need to know the answer. That I'll keep for myself. But what you need to know to ask the question, that I'm willing to share with you. So if that's a toelis, and if it's not, that you're getting more confused than you were before, and don't bother me with this, and just if there's a question, I'll ask it, then maybe we shouldn't go do something else besides this kind of approach. But if you feel, especially the women, the men, I don't really. Whatever you'll hear. It's nice information. But I don't want to confuse the women. So if the women feel that there's a toelis in this, then we'll continue along this line. And I get the impression that yes, you feel it's a toelis.